you. Good morning. 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 I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful day. Amen. When I woke up this morning, my feet hit the floor, which means I was able to get up on this morning, and I saw how bright the sun was shining. The birds were chirping. It wasn't too cold outside, which indicates to me that not only did we make it through another winter, amen, but we'll make it through another day. And I'm just so grateful yet to see another Easter. Some call it Resurrection Day. Some call it He's Still Alive Day. But no matter what day you call it, amen, I am grateful to know that He lives and He holds our tomorrow in His hand. For He is Jehovah Jireh, that He is our provider, that He's Jehovah Nissi, that He fights our battles, Jehovah Sikadu, that He's God Almighty. And I am, for one, am grateful. So I want to be the first to say, maybe not the first, but just to remind you of happy Easter, amen, on Resurrection Day, that He is risen, that He is alive. How many of you know that He's alive this morning? Hallelujah. I say, you know, this morning that we go right into praise and worship with our praise and worship leader on this morning. Amen. Sister Dominique coming to us live all the way from Chicago. And we're just grateful for God, Lord, for blessing us with someone so talented and so anointed that was willing to spend a time and share with us. Amen. So no further ado, we're going to give it over to you, Sister Dominique.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. It's such a blessing and honor and a privilege to be able to worship and praise the true and the living God on this morning. I just came just to give God glory, and I hope you did too. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Dying, He justified, freed me forever. One day He's coming back, a glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified, freed me forever. One day He's coming back, a glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified, freed me forever. One day He's coming back, a glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified, freed me forever. One day He's coming back, a glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified, freed me forever. One day He's coming back, a glorious day. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. Got my war clothes on in the army. I'm a sanctified soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. Got my war clothes on in the army. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Sunday. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. We're not fighting for the victory, we're fighting from victory. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. 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 Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you.
There is no greater love. There is no greater love. There is no Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. Thank you, Jesus. That's love. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you.
Yeah.
let you give a little testimony this morning on this Easter Sunday to bless the people.
Awesome, Pastor Ely. I cannot show my video. It says that the host has to give me that right.
Oh, I can do it. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make you co-host. How about that?
That's okay.
Okay, you try it now.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Safe House.
Good morning.
Thank you, Pastor Ely. Good morning, everyone. So, let's see, where do we begin? We could not meet up. I am here to report that in 2024, my husband and I, Chester Webb, of course, you know my name is Sherelle, but we sent in our final payment of Chapter 13. And if you do not know what the Chapter 13 is, back in 2018, my husband and I had to file for bankruptcy after securing the home that we're living in now. There was a envelope came. We had a natural disaster. If I'm not mistaken, it was Hurricane Harvey. And get into a home, for those of us have gone through the home buying purchasing process, it was long, but we were so excited to get into our home. We received a number of letters in the mail that stated, hey, if you, we know that you recently had a natural disaster in your area, if you're wanting to push back some mortgage payments, this is the program to get into. I brought it to my husband. I was like, you know what? We received this letter like 4 or 5 times. I think it's legitimate. It's from Bank of America. We've been banking with Bank of America. Let's try it out. Let's see it so we can get our heads above water. And he agreed. And a couple of months went by, maybe about 4 months went by without us paying our mortgage and everything else is paid. We received a letter that said, hey, hello, did you forget about us? It is now time to pay those mortgage payments that you ideally put on the back end. And so we were like, okay, no problem. Let's start our payment plan. There was no payment plan to start. We would like our payments all in full. All payments in full? Yes. And so that time we did not have a 4 or 5 mortgage payment in full. We asked to do a payment plan. It was denied. Well, as the days, weeks went by, month went by, we found our home up for foreclosure. And again, those that have gone through the home buyer process, I was like, okay, well, we have to do something. We cannot lose our home. And so I found myself researching. Then we came upon filing for bankruptcy. Just the term bankruptcy yields so much negativity and, you know, just something that, you know, that people don't talk about, especially in the financial world, in general conversation, in family, you do not hear about bankruptcy. And if you do, it's had all this negative connotation behind it. So anyways, my husband and I filed for bankruptcy. It was one of the most humiliating, at the time I felt, it was the most humiliating and embarrassing thing that I had caused for our family because I brought it to my husband. The effects of it allowed us to stay in our home, but we were making payments to our trustee every single week. Now, as you know, I was a classroom teacher, and here in Houston, we were getting paid every 2 weeks. Well, every 2 weeks, I will find a $236 check in my hand because Chapter 13 had took it right off top.
Wow.
Now, the funds that they are using, of course, they're using to pay our mortgage. And when we talked to our lawyer initially, They was like, you don't have enough to go into bankruptcy. So we also put our cars on there too. Now, mind you, this excludes lights, gas, water, insurance, all the other things. It's only our mortgage and our two cars. And so to fast forward this, I was bringing home, again, about $236 every 2 weeks. And being a teacher, we will always look for supplemental income. So I will be looking for professional developments that offer stipends, things like that. And so that will be like my part-time work or job compensation. And so I remember being accepted into University of Houston And this is where I met Pastor Ely. And so I think that I know that this is part of my story of meeting him. But let me tell you all, when I became a master's student for graduate school for University of Houston, they promised $5,000. $10,000 every single year. It's a 5-year program. And so because I found myself in this financial situation, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to apply. Now, hundreds of people apply, y'all. Hundreds of people applied. They were only accepting about 15, and I was one of them. I was elated. Why? Because I could get my master's as well as the Chi-Ching, right? Because that's forefront on my brain. Well, I went to Mobile, Alabama. Met Pastor Ely, didn't even know about his status or anything. Regular old guy, he complimented me on my hair, and we was like glued at the hip ever since, right? And so one of the nights we were at the conference, and I saw him being the keynote speaker. I'm like, what? Right? I was just like, I've been around him all the time, and he did not tell me, right? And so he told me that he was a pastor, and he would do these morning prayers. And from that, and I remember distinctively, this was in the house that they were in before, and he would be praying either in the kitchen or at the table or something. But he was praying, and I would log on every morning and listen to all of his 10-minute uploads and all those things. And let me fast forward some more. I was dismissed out of that program. I was dismissed out of the program, and I was devastated. Why? Because I'm like, oh, my goodness. This was like my supplement income. Like, what am I? Was crying for days and days and days and days. I was dismissed out the program. And so being dismissed out the program, one of the stipulations is that when you're in the master's program, you can't do anything else as far as you have to stay in the classroom, because what they're teaching you, you have to implement in the classroom. Well, I was dismissed from the program, so I was no longer tied to the stipulations of being in there, but I knew it was time for me to get out. I knew it was time for me to elevate. I knew I wanted to be a teacher's teacher. I knew I wanted to be a coach. And so while I was still in the classroom, I transitioned to the Lunar and Planetary Institute, and this is how I became connected to NASA. So as the education specialist there, the only chocolate drop in the building, and you guys know what that means. So it was around a lot of male, pale, and stale. A lot of this is how we've always done it. You know, new, innovative, they didn't want to hear it. Well, I was at LPI, and I was thankful for the position because I was no longer bringing in $236 every 2 weeks. It was more so like $563. So I got a little raise in that instinct. But anyways, no one knew the financial struggle that my family and I were going through, because I'm still being me. I'm still being the community. I'm still teaching kids. I'm still putting on programs for little or nothing, because this is my gift. And so after about 2.5 years with the LPI, I decided to fire my boss, y'all. I decided to fire my boss to follow my dream of entrepreneurship. And I remember talking to Sister Hicks about this, and she was like, what, Sherelle? I don't know about this, Sherelle. I'm worried about you, girl. She was like, I'm about to come to Texas. And I'm like, no, Sister Hicks, it's gonna be okay. And so I stand before you in 2024 telling you that Coding with a Twist and Pastor Ely prays for my business, our business every single morning. And so we now have 10 employees. The program is in 20 schools around Greater City Houston. We just became approved vendors for the YMCA. And not only has God blessed my family, but 10 other families, 10 other educators depend on Coding with the Twist to make God-ordained steps because they use it as supplemental income. I'm talking about I paid my teacher $75 an hour while I was still in Chapter 13. Now, I tell you, now all of since 2022 up until now, I submit payroll every Friday while paying $653 every Monday, y'all. Over the last 6 years of being in bankruptcy, we've paid over $200,000 to our trustee. And we made our final payment and signed papers when Pastor Ely touched down in Houston. And so I did want to meet up with him. It was rainy that day. It was icky outside. But I was like, Pastor Ely, we have some business to take care of. So we'll see you a little later. So I was going to sign the papers submitting our last payment. And so it is such a testimony because at the time of me wanting to go into entrepreneurship, my husband is the only one that knew we had this financial struggle. So he's looking at me like, Sherelle, how are you even thinking about working for yourself when we have this $653 to pay every Monday? He just couldn't fathom it. And I was telling him, God is going to, if they are paying me X amount of dollars to do what I do naturally, why can't I do that for ourselves? Why can't I do that for our own business? And he did not agree with me at all. At all. He did not agree with the decision because I was obedient and faithful. And in the vision that God gave me, I am living proof that even the spouse may not agree. But if God does, that's all that matters. Now, when you ask Webb about entrepreneurship and me stepping out, he's like, do you need me to put this in a car? Do you need me to go buy this? Do you need me to fix this? Do you need me to organize this? It's like a no-brainer. And so I am living proof. And thank you, Pastor Ely, for allowing me to tell my testimony. Of course, it's so many intricate details, but it has been an amazing journey. A lot of tears, lots of tears, but I don't regret it. And now I can say that I am an overcomer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that we are overcome by the power of our testimony. Amen. And I'm just so grateful that Sister Webb reached out and was willing to share her testimony. We don't do this all the time. Those who come here on a regular basis know that. Amen. I guess somebody took somebody's key. Nowhere near here, though. I know everybody's getting it. You not know the Bible talks about that, right? Said that in the times that they'll be able to contact everybody in the world at one time. Grateful to God from just all he did. I met Sherelle several years ago. I was in Mobile, Alabama for a conference, and she had a nice little fade. And that time I still had hair. And she had some nice little waves. And I commented, I said, you got more waves than I got. And, you know, and y'all can see by her personality. And she's like, my goodness, she's short, y'all. She's about this tall. And she was like, wah-wah-wah-wah. We just kind of hit it off from that point on. And she connected, again, social media. I know people have a lot of things negative to say about social media, but I don't see nothing but the positive because you heard her talk about it. She watched those 10-minute prayers. As you all know, before this ministry got started, what we're doing now, we started out just doing 10-minute prayers every morning at my kitchen table in the morning on the internet just for 10 minutes. And you never know what that seed is planted. She's always in Houston, Texas, and has been a faithful member of this church since its inception. Amen. So, and we're still waiting for her to get to North Carolina. They coming. Amen. All that money she's making now, she's going to board a flight, and she's going to come up here, and her and Brother Webb going to be with us. Amen. But nonetheless, what I'm getting at is you saw the things that she went through. And that happened right here in this ministry. And I know many of you, some of you may be going through similar things right now. And I wanted to allow her to be able to speak because sometimes you need to see somebody else.
You know, one of the things in a mentoring program that I work with, it says for to be one, they need to see one. And sometimes you need to be able to hear that this is not somebody on TV, this is not a commercial, but this is somebody that you all know, that you pray with, that you talk with, that went through the same things, amen. The scams that are out there are more scams than a little bit. People will just scam you all day long. Even the best of us can get scammed now. You get a little text on your phone and say, oh, you got a package. And you think, yeah, I might have bought something. Well, it just came. And you find out now they're draining your banking account, right? So these are the times that we live in that people rather spend their time trying to figure out how to take your money than go earn their own money. And so even in all these things that she talks about, obviously you heard her say some of the errors and things that she made, amen. But nonetheless, God worked it out. And they were able to pay off all that debt. She was able to start a job, a business in the middle of that. You know, sometimes you find that the best time to do something is in the middle of chaos. And the reason why it's easier to do something in the middle of chaos is because everything is chaotic. Nobody's paying attention. And so in this particular point in time now, she's building, and God is opening up more and more contracts for her. And you all can see her personality just oozes with enthusiasm and optimism, amen. And now she's using her gift, and God's just continually blessing them and open up doors, amen. And even when it was tight, you know, she would tithe, amen. And I know it wasn't much, you know, and like we talk about here, you know, what God gave you, you know, amen. You know if you're doing right by him. Not one person have I called and said, well, you ain't did this. I don't have to because he knows. He keeps the record because I don't have anything but whatever he's given me. And we're just grateful to God from him on this morning. Thank God for seeing a full house on the day. I'm not going to keep you all long, amen, but I wanted that testimony to go forth because I do believe it is important and critical that others hear what God is doing, that God is still in the saving business and that he's still on the throne. I'm just so grateful to see my friend, Sister Carolyn, amen. I think it was about a year ago this time that, you know, you started your ordeal, but God is good, he's faithful, and he's keeping her, amen. And here she is again in our midst. I know what started out. I'll never forget. She called, and, you know, it was a little call from, you know, we was on the prayer in the morning. Sister Carolyn was there. And, you know, she's like, Pastor, I got this cough. And you know, I know she went to see about the cough. And the next thing I know, she's in the hospital. And to that point, amen. And we go through all this ordeal and to the rehab. And, you know, there were her sister. And I remember because it was right in the big transition time that mom was about to come down from Philadelphia, if I recall correctly. And all these different things were going on, and she got sick right when she got ready to retire. Amen. But we are just grateful that God is now healing her body and having her daughter there to help support her and the family. We're just grateful to all of you all for whom God's blessings flow. Did we have any birthdays in the house today? Did I miss any birthdays, anniversaries? All right, so I don't have any birthdays or anniversaries, so we'll get into what I believe God has given me to share with you on today. As we know, today is Easter Sunday, and I know most people are expecting a good Easter Sunday message. So how many times can you preach the resurrection? I mean, it doesn't ever get old, amen. Every time you preach it, there's a new way to talk about it, to bring it forth. But one of the things that we do here at the Safe House Church that we believe that we challenge your thinking, amen. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. So for us to control what you do with your body, you must first control what you do with your mind. As the mind goes, the body goes. Amen. Take care of the head, then you don't have to worry about the body, that it will soon disintegrate. So if you would turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 36. I'll put it on the screen there. Matthew, the 36th chapter, verse number 36, chapter 26, verse 36. And I will put it here on the screen to be able to share with you all. And thank you all for tuning in, those who are both here live and those by way of the internet. Amen. So we clearly, you see, we believe in using technology to be able to help spread the word of God. All right, so the Bible should be coming up there. Okay, cool. So I got it there for you on the screen, verse 36, and I'm going to go through 10. And it says this. Then come Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thou will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. If I was to use for a subject on this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject of, if this thing has changed over here, you don't know the half. You don't know the half. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. We want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these people, Lord, who've come from far and near to hear your word on this morning, Lord, to celebrate, Lord Jesus, the day, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life, Lord Jesus, and you come again. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for walking with us and talking with us and moving us, oh God, and caring for us. And Lord, we ask that you allow the words that come out of my mouth be your words, not my words. Say what you have to say to your people. Prick their hearts, oh God. Touch them, oh God. Encourage them, Lord, to go on and see what the end is going to be, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone. For we dare not touch that glory, but we give your name the praise. We ask you to do these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Let me grab this, because I do not want to forget it. Amen. So this morning, first we find that Jesus is here in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's not alone. He has friends with him, amen, and the sons of Zebedee he has with him. They are accompanying him, and he knows that his hour is near, and he's here to prepare himself because, believe it or not, even though he did it, he didn't necessarily want to do it. Amen. The Bible talks about really clearly here that he didn't want to do it. That when we start to look at things, sometimes we do things we necessarily don't want to do. Amen. Sometimes when you know you're called to a thing, you do what you have to do so you get to do what you want to do later. When I think about this story and I think about in terms of nature, as we see now the spring of the year is now starting to turn and we start to see that now the trees are starting to bloom with their leaves, and the grass is starting to turn green in many areas, and the flowers are starting to come up, and the tulips and the buttercups are starting to open up and show their petals. What we don't ever really take the time to really think about and understand is exactly what's going on there. When we look at these things and we look at these plants, we notice that they are actually growing two different ways at the same time. Not only do you see when we see a plant that has sprung up, but when we see a plant that has sprung up, for it to have sprung up, it must first sprung down. Amen. The first thing that a plant does when the seed is starting to germinate, it's starting to open up and it's starting to find its source of life. And we know that the source of life for a plant is what? Water. And it's trying to find water. So therefore, it's not only growing, it's growing, but it's growing downward. And as it's starting to grow downward, what it's doing is it's starting to solidify its space in that area. We find that it has some barriers, amen, that kind of soil that it is in. If it's in rocky soil, if it's in stony soil, if it's in soil that's not as porous as others, then you'll see the roots start to make them ways all the way down till they start to tap into a source that gives them strength, start to tap into a source for which is able to sustain them. And now as we start to see that root grow one way, all of a sudden now you start to see a little bit on the top. And what you start to see with that little bit on the top is a outward growth of what has already been going on. I know many of you are going through many different things, amen. And we only see a little bit of what you're going to be, amen, because God has already started that work in you. Many of you, that work has already started because you've been digging your roots down deep, amen. And what we find when we find that Christ found himself on the cross, that before he got on the cross, there was some root work that was done here. And we found that this root work was done here in the Garden of Gethsemane. We all talk about how he got on the cross. We all talk about how he scratched and the things he went through. But that must have been a foundation that must be set for him to be able to endure what he did. Because if he started to get there and he wasn't sure about what he was doing and why he was doing what he was doing, then he could have easily gotten off. Remember, he was God in the flesh, amen. He could have called angels down from heaven. He could have rained down fire and brimstone wherever they were. He could have taken their life. But he stopped and he allowed himself to be taken because he understood the assignment. He was standing on business. He was knowing exactly, look, this is what I need to do. So therefore, let me prepare myself. And in preparation, that means I need to pray. Why? Because when I pray, I understand that I'm asking God for his strength in exchange for my weakness. But the Bible has already told us that the flesh is weak, amen. That the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what is he doing? He's now tapping down into the ground, amen, to the foundation of his being. And then the foundation of his being is his Father God, who strengthens him, who loves him, who he understands that, well, I'm doing this, Lord, not because I want to do it, but because it's going to make you well pleased with me. Amen. And what we have to do, brothers and sisters, is that when we get to those times in our life that we find ourselves going through things and situations, we got to remember that we got this well of water that lives inside of us. Amen. For the Bible said that he will be a well of water in our soul. Amen. And when you're going through things, you start to dig a little deeper, amen. Lord, I don't want to have to do this. Lord, I don't want to have to go there. Lord, I don't want to have to spend this. Lord, why do I have to be nice to this person when they've been nothing but mean to me? And what he reminds me is that he digs down a little deeper, amen, in us every time. And then I'm able to secure who I am from what the foundation that's inside of me. This is why it's important, brothers and sisters, that we have the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that keep me from cussing you out. That's the only thing that keep me from shooting at you. That's the only thing that keep me from the clap back. Because I understand my life source is not you. What you see on the top is superficial, but what that is in the ground, that work that's been done, all that is done before I get here, amen, is what matters. I look at it, many of you are all so beautiful on today, but I can only imagine how much time it took you to get prepped. Amen. To be in here 10, 25, 30 minutes today. Some of you been prepping since last week. You went and got your hair done. And some of you went and you got this and you went and bought clothes and you went to this and you ironed that and you put that away. I think about my wife, amen. She was putting the kids' stuff since last Friday, amen. Putting all these pieces in preparation. Because what we understand is that the preparation is longer than the performance. Come on, somebody. The performance is not that long, but the preparation is where it is, amen. And we find that Jesus not only he triple prepares because he goes and he prays three times, the Bible tells us, because he had to understand that, Lord, the Father, Lord, I don't get it, amen. Lord, the Son, Lord, I hear you, but I'm not there. But then God said, okay, now I get it, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. So some of us in our lives, we have to go to the well more than one time because what? We have to build that foundation. That foundation has to be strong enough to uphold that which is above, amen. You know, when I was in high school, school and I was in college, my coach, amen, would go and he would look at boys' feet and he would look and see what kind of shoe. He would ask what size shoe they you wear. And if your shoe size was 10, 15, 20, whatever they may be, then they would actually go ahead and start to try to work on you or draft you, because they would draft you off what they call potential, because your feet are big. And if your feet are big, then there's a tendency to mean that you're going to be tall. Oh, come on, somebody. Because the body grows typically, I know this is not every case, but typically it's in proportion. I wear 13. I stand 6'3". Amen. So I think there's a little truth to that. Amen. You know, so, you know, Shaq is what, 22, and he's 7 foot something. Amen. So this, what the foundation, your body has a tendency to build the foundation it needs. Can you imagine seeing a person who's 7 foot tall with size two feet? He's not going to stand very well, amen. And so this is what we have to be reminded of, see. So this is why Jesus spent his time, going to the garden, amen. And what you're going to understand is that everybody's not going to be able to do the work with you. Hallelujah. Because what he does is he took his two best buds with him and said, hey, would y'all wait right here with me when I go over here and pray? And what happened is they were sleeping. In fact, they were probably snoring. They were going, the Bible said their eyes were heavy. So then he goes back and he said, well, could you not wait with me a little bit? See, some of you, you've been waiting for somebody to go with you, but I just want to remind you today that you're going to have to go this one alone. I know you want him to go with you because you like that comfort, amen. But I'm telling you, you got to go this one alone. I know it's scary, but the Bible said what? Don't walk in fear, for he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but he's giving us the spirit of love, power, and the sound mind. I'm pretty sure that Sister Sherelle was pretty fearful about quitting that job, amen, because she had already, in her own words, had messed up the family, amen, because she thought she was doing a good thing because something that was presented, amen. But then again, she said, well, Lord, I'm going to try you one more time. And she put forth that effort, and God met her right there, amen. And now that business is flourishing, not only to her, watch this, more importantly, she said what? That they're supporting 10 other families, amen. So when God comes for you, it's not about you. It's about everybody else, amen, that he's going to bless through you, and you get fringe benefit because you are in position. Come on, somebody. So here we find that what? Jesus died for who? He died for everybody, amen. And what he had to understand when he went back to his father and understand when he was talking to his father had instilled in him. I believe the first time he showed us all those who had already died and went on, amen, who were not going to come back if he didn't do this thing. I believe the second time he went, he showed them all those who were present before them right then and said, hey, they ain't going to make it if you don't do this. And I like to believe that third time that he went, when he went back, he showed them all those who were in the future who weren't going to make it if he didn't do it, amen. But now that he did it, all those who were behind us, the Bible said that on that day when he went down, he spent 3 days down in the earth, amen, and he was what? Preaching the revival, redeeming those who were already lost and giving them the opportunity to come back. Then he went right there and he showed himself, amen, to the disciples. And he showed himself to Thomas and said, those are the holes in my hand, Thomas, that I am real. Amen. It was Mary and the other sisters that saw him and went and told him that he lives, amen, and that Jesus is alive and that he's well. And now he has you and I here, amen, to continue to proclaim the gospel here 2,000 some years later, the future people, the ones he died, the peculiar people, the called out people, those who are called by his name, those who know his name. He has us here to proclaim his name in a day and time where it's almost taboo to say anything about his name. Oh, come on, somebody. So here now, he's done all of these things in preparation. The Bible said it was thrice that he did this, and he understood that he was going to be betrayed. I'm here to tell you today that betrayal is part of the deal, amen. I know some of you look how they betrayed her. They told her that, look, you ain't got to make your payments. Why would somebody want to do something like that? And you know people were hurting. You saw it was a hurricane. You know people were going through things, and if you ever been in one of those natural disasters, and I'm grateful I'm not, but I seen some of the people that went through those things, and they catch people at their lowest and they give them anything. And I don't care about what you say, but if you're hungry enough, you eat anything. Come on, somebody. If you're hungry enough, you will eat anything. So now they found themselves in this position, and people took advantage of them, amen, and betrayed them, amen. But how many of you know when God has got a thing? See, we didn't know at the time that while she was at the conference that God was preparing for another man who had never been to Alabama. That was my first time going to Alabama, and I was there at the conference, and we crossed paths, amen, and spirits, you know, kindred spirits, it's kind of like you know, how Elizabeth and John and Mary came up. They said they at least knew something was different, amen. Never knew how we would connect, amen. Never even talked to her no more after that. She actually found me on the internet, amen. But all these things, the Bible said, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So therefore, what there has to be purpose involved in this. And I believe that God is not done with her yet, amen, that it's a purpose that's inside of her, that he just started, amen, that he just beginning, amen, that's going to spring up in a well of life, amen, and be life to somebody else, hallelujah, for God is not marked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you sow good seed, you have no choice but to reap good seed. But if you sow turmoil, if you sow badness, if you sow wickedness, amen, then I wouldn't want to be you unless God's mercy is upon you, amen. So now he finds himself here that he's continually to go back and pray. And he's praying because he wants to shake this thing off. But he knows inside that he has to do what he has to do. How many of you know that sometimes you find yourself, you know what you got to do, but you know you don't necessarily want to do it. You know that means you might have to turn down that plate, but you know your birthday coming up and you don't want to do that. You know that you might have to give that up, but you're like, Lord, vacation is right around the corner. And Lord, he asked him for some more, or they asked him for me to do this, Lord. But you know already in you, amen, that he knows that he blesses a cheerful giver. You know in you that he's seen you through before. You know in you, already in you that you got checks and refunds and things that you weren't even expecting, amen. You know within you that he forgave things that you know that you owed, amen. You know you did, amen. That you know you set out for, amen. But all these things, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. All these things that he's setting himself up for. And I'm just grateful to know that God loves us, amen. And he's already marked you, that he knew that you would be here on this day. He knew on this day, he knew that you would be here to hear this testimony. Because there's somebody who needs to do a business. There's somebody who wants to start a business, who needed that word of encouragement this morning to say that, Lord, if you would do it for her. If you would do it for her, oh God. You said in your word that if I be faithful over a few things, then I will make you what? Ruler over many. She started with one and now she got 10, y'all. Hallelujah. He said, what? Multiply by tens, hundreds, thousands, amen. That he can what? All that what? You have the capacity to hold. So Jabez prays to God and said, what? Enlarge my territory. What do you mean by enlarge my territory? My capacity. He's not going to give you no more than you can bear, which means not just the bad things, but the good things too. Hallelujah. We always look at it like, oh, he ain't going to give me no more than I can bear. Amen. And I understand that, but that goes both ways, because if he give you too much riches or he give you too much of a thing, then you will find your way in hell. That's why the Bible says it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go into heaven. Not that a rich man wouldn't make it into heaven, but it's just that he has to humble himself, amen. That he has to take off, amen. He has to realize that what I have is not mine. What I got is not mine. What you put in my hand is for me to take and multiply, oh God, and give to somebody else, oh God, and watch it return, amen. 10, 100, some 9, some 1,000 fold. And I'm reminded on today, and I just want to say on today that we are grateful for, you don't know the half of what he went through. All we know is a little bit they wrote about in the Bible. You don't know about the half that he went through. You don't know about how he walked these dusty streets and people talked about him. The Bible said that what a prophet is without honor was somewhere in his own hometown. And I don't know about you, but the thing that hurts you the most is the people that you love that you can't help. Come on, somebody. When it's a brother or sister that you know you have the means that you want to help and you want to do things and you did this and you got yourself in position so that you could be a help to them, and then they reject you to your face. These are the same Jews that he came from. And they won't allow him to help him. But they'll talk about him. They'll talk about how blessed he is. They talk about what he's doing in the synagogue. They'll talk about how he turning water into wine. They'll talk about how he opening blinded eyes. But he get there, he can't do it in their own midst. And that's one of the things that just burns with agony, that you can do anything for everybody else, but you can't help your own. The Bible said he went to his own. His own would not receive him. Why? Because people see you how they remember you. Woo! Come on. See, when they saw him, they remember him as that's the little Jesus that was in the synagogue. That was too fast. He wasn't being there. He was in there telling the old man what to do. Oh, that's Jesus. That's Mary's baby. I don't know who his daddy is though. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible said that he was born of the Spirit. And Joseph went, didn't even sleep with her until way after Jesus was born. We talked about that in Bible study, I think, last week. You see what I'm saying? So you know they were what taught that Jesus was a bastard baby. Who was his daddy? You know they had these talks. Well, they just carpenter. He's just a carpenter's kid. Well, you know she had a baby out there in a stable. She had a baby in a food trough. Not knowing that he was going to be the same food that you and I eat for eternity. Oh, come on, somebody. That was going to be from that same manger, that same bread that animals fed from, that now we eat from. Oh, come on, somebody. He said that with every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that we shall live not by bread alone. Oh, come on. So then he reminds us that that as we go forth, that all these things that he wants to do, and he wants to do them for us, but what it requires us to do one thing, and that is to believe. And it's so hard for many of us to believe, but once you get it, once you get it, as NC said, once you figure it out, once you believe, hey, I don't care what they say, then you aren't supposed to be there. And then all of a sudden, now you figure out, hold up, if I trust him to make his shot, and he believed in me, he passed me the ball to believe that I can make the shot, so I might as well make the shot. Now I make the shot, and I believe him. Every time I pass him, he's going to make the shot. So I don't mind passing it to you because I know you're going to make the shot.
That's right.
Let me put this in layman's terms. Let me live where you live. I don't mind putting this in your hand because I know you're going to bless me, and you're going to do what I asked you to do with it. And then when it comes your turn, I ain't got to worry about it because you know you're going to be in a position to receive it. Because your hand's going to be open. It's not going to be closed. Because when it's open, I can give, but I can also receive. But when it's closed, all I got is what I got. And I'm not allowed to have any more. God uses us as what? It's called, when they talk about money, it's called what? Currency. What is current? Current, it flows. So if it gets to you and it's dammed up, that's no longer a flow. So water that's dammed up is stagnant. Water that's dammed up is lukewarm. And what did he say about lukewarm water? I'll spew you out of my mouth because lukewarm water is good for nothing. Either be hot or cold. Because if you're cold, then you can preserve some things. And if you're hot, you can burn up everything else. But if you're there in the middle, that's where disease lives. Think about it in your body. If your body gets cold enough, you slow down. They can preserve your body. Like they almost got it to a science now. They can slow you down and preserve your life. But then at the same time, they can heat you up to kill any infirmities in you. This is why we get fever. But if you stay there right there in the middle, what do? We incubate disease. This is why the body tries to get hotter or colder. So here, same exact concept here. That what? This thing called faith. He said without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what is faith? Faith is like this. It said faith is the substance of things hoped for, so you must have hope. And that's one person I don't want to be around. Somebody who doesn't have hope don't have any resonance with me. Because if you don't have hope, it's impossible to have faith. And if it's impossible to have faith, then nothing's everything is impossible to you. But what if you believe? What if you believe? So many of us have discounted ourselves. You already said, well, nope, this ain't going to work. What if it did? Many told me that what we were doing right here is not going to work. I'm looking at this. What if it did? We've been doing this for over 10 years on the internet. Well, I remember 2 or 3 years ago, everybody was at home doing it on the internet. We were already ahead of the game. What if it did? Oh, you ain't one staying there over there. How you going to do that? I don't know. I'm just going what God told me to do. Because when he done with the experiment, he'll be done with it. And until then, I'm going to do what he told me to do. Because what if it did? See, pioneers are not celebrated until they're usually gone. Do y'all not know? I know I'm talking to all black people here. That Martin Luther King was probably one of the most hated men when he was alive. And you would be hard-pressed to believe that today. We got, matter of fact, the street right here named after him. We got a street in almost every city in America that's named after the man. Statues all over the place. Everybody in the entire world at least knows his name. Probably the second most recognizable name in the world. Yet, he was super-duper hated. So, Jesus already told us, don't be looking to that. Don't be looking for them to pat you on the back. Because they don't understand it yet. God has you as a pioneer. You're before your time. You're making a way. Just like John the Baptist, he was that precursor. He was clearing out the way. He said, the one that come after me, I'm not even going to be able to tie his sandals. That's how great he is. That's how wonderful he is. And now that same great one has allowed himself to go up on that, what they some would say, a dogwood tree. I don't know it to be a tree, but I know it was a tree. And he gave his life. And the foundation that he left for us still feeds us to the day. So you don't know the half. You don't know the half. We only know those three times that he prayed that they recorded about it. But how about all those times he prayed when nobody was looking? All those times that he gave. All those miracles that he may have done that we didn't record. Because we didn't know. All we know is what we know. And they tell me that victors, I mean, that history has a tendency to be written by the what? Those who are the victors. So it's always recorded from their point of view. How many books have you read about losers? Not many, if any. It's always about the victor. So what about the other side of the coin? And so, yes, Jesus, what he did is wonderful, is great. But there was another side of the coin, which gives me the opportunity to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you feel down and you go through things, it's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to be depressed. It's going to happen. But what? I got to remind myself that in this depression, that it has an end. It has an expiration date. It came, but it can't stay. Come on, somebody. That it started, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Bible tells us about that. He said that we as believers, that we could be stressed, that we'll be complex, we'll be distressed, and we'll be cast down. But watch this. You as a believer cannot be possessed. Why? Because I'm already filled up with the Holy Ghost. So everything, depression is what? From the outside. Possession's inside. So it's not inside of you. So it's the things that what? Depress you what? Come from the outside. This didn't happen, so I feel depressed. That didn't go the way I wanted to go, so I feel depressed. This happened, so I feel depressed. This is where, if you don't look and you're careful, yo, this is Jesus fighting depression before the cross. He didn't want to do it, but he understood the assignment. So I get, you don't understand that. I know Sister Sherelle went through her testimony pretty quickly. But and the reason she did that, because I told her, I said, look, you got 5 minutes, but she did all right. But nonetheless, here, but it was a lot of details that she left out. Think about that as a Bible. Look at all the stuff that was left out. They gave us 66 books that they canonized. There are some pieces that were left out. There's detail. You got the cliff notes. The Bible is a cliff note. Those who know what I'm talking about, cliff note. You went to college, you didn't want to read Macbeth, you got the cliff notes. You didn't read Oliver Twist, you would have got the cliff notes. You got enough to be dangerous. And if you really was into it, then you might have went back and got the book. And this is what he left on record for us. These are Jesus' cliff notes of the things he did. But he's asking you and I, if you're really into me, you'll go deeper. And as I go deep and I start to understand, okay, I understand why he went this way. I understand why one guy said he was sweating blood and the other one said that it was like drops of blood. Amen. I understand that there is a real condition where you can literally sweat blood. So did Jesus have that condition or not? These are all these things that you go a little deeper about when you want to know more. He said, what? Take thy yoke and learn of me, for thy yoke is easy and thy burdens are light. So if it's heavy, it must not be yours to carry. It was his to carry anyway. Because he said, what I have for you is easy. Why is it easy? Because all I have to do is rest in him. It's hard easy. Yeah. How many of y'all know hard easy, right? Yeah. It's simple. As I tell my team all the time, and I'm coming to a close, the planning is great, but the execution is greater. We plan great all the time. Many of you plan to say, oh, pastor said church start at 9 o'clock. I'm going to be there at 8:55. You plan well, but how well did we execute? That's not a shot at anybody, but I just want you to bring a real example. You planned, you were planning to be there, but the execution, something came along to distract you. The hot water didn't work right. Or you couldn't find your favorite blouse all of a sudden. Or the iron didn't, now you iron it, now they spit rest all of your stuff. I've been there. It was something that distracted. And the Bible said it like this. He said, lay aside every weight that so easily set us. So when those things come, those distractions, you know what those are? Weights. It ain't sin. It ain't sin for me to be late. It's a weight. It can make me better, but it's a weight. So everything ain't sin. Some of these things are just things that we do that we have to what? Make a conscious effort to be better about. Right? And as I lay aside those weights, yeah, I have them too. When I lay aside those weights, I can walk faster. For he tells us what? The race is not given to the swift or to the strong. Neither chance or bread to the wise. But time and chance happen to them all. That's what the Bible says. And how does it happen to you? By being in the way when Jesus comes by. I'll leave you on this note. The bridegrooms came in and they said, they had their lamps, and some of them were not prepared. And you and I, we never know when he's coming for us. But that means another opportunity, or he's calling us to our eternal home. But it's our job to also be ready. It's not that he wants to come and catch you. Like Bob said, he's coming like a thief in the night. Well, a thief in the night comes what? He tries to sneak up on you when you're not ready. So we have to be also ready. And because of what he did, I want you to know that we don't understand the half. We talked about how his beard was plucked. We talked about how he was beat with a cat of nine eyes. We talked about how he was bruised and he was battered. We talked about how he was pierced in his side. We talked about how they put the nails through his bones, I mean through his body, through his hands, and through his feet. And the Bible said, yet not a bone would be broken in his body. All of that he went through, not a bone broke. I know some say, how is that possible? It is definitely scientifically possible. Because if the bone was broke, that means that what? Something be broken us. So his bones were what? The structure. The flesh came away, but the structure remains. The structure of what he did remains. And you and I are to go on record, and we can do a better job. In closing, and I'm really closing, I ain't gonna get Baptist on you. I'm closing, and last night I was at my home as we was getting ready to go. And I went to talk to my neighbor about a thing that we had going on in our neighborhood. And he started asking me just questions at random about church. He said, "Were you going to church tomorrow?" I was like, "Oh yeah, you know we're going to church, da, da, da." And we was going on and on, and you know, I don't know about you, but you know, when you have small talk with your neighbors, some you're really close with and you talk about anything and everything, and then some you just kind of have those casual, just nice conversations. And he kept going deeper, and he started asking about the resurrection. And I think we asked about Easter. I said, well, it's Easter, resurrection, whatever. He said, I call it resurrection day. And he started asking about it. And we started talking about the sacrifice. And I brought up the thing of the, I said, yeah, you know, you have the two goats in this. You know, the term scapegoat actually comes from the Bible. You all aware of that, right? Scapegoat, really what a scapegoat was this is why Jesus dying is significant. Because when the sins came in biblical times in the Old Testament, what would happen is they have what they call the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, all the sins were placed into animals. They were transferred. They were substituted because the Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So when a sin is in the camp, something has to die. So what God allowed them to do was to transfer those sins to the animals. So what they would do, they would have these goats. And these goats had to meet certain criteria. And the goat had to meet what? Number one, it had to be firstborn. Mm-hmm. It also has to be the goat without spot or wrinkle. It had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. I tell people, think about them in terms of a show dog. The show dogs, those are the best of the best of their breed. Well, you got to have the best of the best of your flock. Because you just don't give anything to God. You give God your best. The one that you could have made. Why is it a sacrifice? Because it was the best one. The best one, you could have took this and went over here and made it. This is what they did. Remember, this is agriculture times. You got the best one. That's money. Let me hold your goat for a week so you can impregnate all my nannies. So now I get star goats. That's what they do, right? We know that. Breed. This is not started. The Bible talks about how, was it Jacob or one of them that was breeding them so they could have stripes on them. So they were worth more money. It's in the Bible. And so what did they do? So these goats came. And one of the goats, they blessed and they sacrificed. The other goat, they put the sins on and took them out in the wilderness and ran them off. That's where the term scapegoat comes from. They put it on a goat. The goat has the sins and they make him run off. As far as you go and whatever happens, happens. But you want him to take the sins away just as far away as possible. And see, this is why the importance of Jesus coming, and this is why we start out in Matthew with it. Why? Because now Jesus comes to fulfill the law. All those things that used to happen, they all in Jesus. So now when Jesus dies, there are no more scapegoats. There's no more turtle doves. And so this is why they are so mad with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus destroys their economic system. I told y'all I was going to stop, y'all. That's Bible class. He destroys their economic system. The preachers don't get paid. They don't get indulgences no more. You know what somebody said, indulge me? That means pay them. And they pay them to forgive their sins like we see in some of these other places still going on today. That's why they say Mary instead of Jesus. Because if they identify Jesus as being the Savior, why are they doing what they're doing? I don't need a priest to go to him. I can go to him for myself. Because when he came, he what? Rent the veil. And now the veil is rent there. Now I can go directly to him when I need him. That is the importance of this day. Is that you don't have to go pay a preacher. You don't have to go pay a priest or a rabbi. You can go to Jesus and call on him right now. And he can fill you right now in the place. Whatever you need, he can come to you right now. And that's the importance of this day. And before all of this, we didn't need none of this until Adam and Eve did what they did. And he set that plan up. And with that plan, he said, well, I have a greater plan. Because he said, he that's come is going, his heel shall bruise the heel. The serpent shall bruise his heel. The serpent being what? The devil. And the heel being what? The heel of Jesus. That all he'll do is just be a bruise. And why is his heel being bruised? Because he's stepping on his head. And that's why we say, Satan, get under my feet. Why? Because it's already done. Y'all, this life, we live in a movie. I tell y'all, we're going to stop. I got to stop. Hallelujah. Will you stand? I'm going to stop because I keep going. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We're passing around the communion cups. If you would like to partake.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.